Would you think that there would be other ways of coming to God than by Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is presented in the Bible as the one whom God hath sent. The Bible seems to give us a very clear idea that God sent one person, His Son, into this world to seek and to save the lost, and that there is one way in which anybody can come to Him, and that is by the way of His Son. I know that this will sound exclusive to some people. Some of you may wonder whether we really mean to exclude everybody else. You will have to remember that the call of the gospel is worldwide. Whosoever will may come. But the truth also is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You see, so far as we are concerned in the Christian gospel, there is one God. And He did have one Son, His only begotten Son. And this Son of God came into this world one time at Bethlehem. There is one Bethlehem story, not many. There is one Lamb of God who died for the sins of the whole world. The Lord Almighty God from heaven said about the Lord Jesus Christ, "This is my beloved Son." Now notice He did not say, "This is one of my sons." He said, "This is my beloved Son." And you and I will be very conscious of the fact there is one Calvary, one death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we like to rejoice in this and take comfort from this, that there is one resurrection. Now we could ask ourselves again, after I have reviewed these things before you, shall we then think that there could be others? Dare we think that God has limited Himself personally to only one way? That's exactly what the Bible says. The one Bible has in it the one gospel that promises the one salvation of God, which will come to us by our faith, and it'll be faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember some years ago, many years ago, when I was in California, I remember meeting a young student from Occidental College out there in California, and having conversation with him and talking to him about my personal faith, he caught the fact that I was relating so many things to the Lord Jesus Christ, and finally he said to me, "It just seems to me that your whole witness and your whole testimony is on a very limited foundation, a very shaky foundation." I said, "Well, what's shaky about it?" "Well," he said, "you are limiting everything, and you put everything in one person, Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "Suppose that He isn't true, then what about it?" While I was thinking about what to say to him, he spoke up to say, "It's a good deal as though you had just one nail in the wall, and you're hanging everything on that one nail. You're just putting everything into a big sack, yourself included, taking yourself over there and hanging yourself on that one nail in the wall." He said, "If that nail was to break, what would happen to you?" So I said to him without any hesitation, I said, "Well, if that nail breaks, I'm lost." He said, "Well, there you are. You see what I mean?" So I said to him, "Now," I said, "if that nail doesn't break, then where am I?" "Well," he said, I expect you'll say you're saved." I said, "I certainly am." And I remember how I said to him, "And by the way, what nail are you hanging on? What are you trusting in?" And that's what we want to recognize here. The testimony of the gospel is one gospel, one salvation by faith in the one Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world one time to seek and to save the lost. And this is borne out in this latter part of the third chapter of John's Gospel. If you have your Bibles with you and you will open this in John's Gospel, the third chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse 31, and we'll read on and comment on these verses as we see this truth. In verse 31 we read, "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." In this way, he refers to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is different from anybody else. He's the only one that came from above. The rest of us all came from the earth. And he that cometh from above is above all. He's over all, more important than, stronger than, all. He that is of the earth is earthy, and that's myself and anybody else that's born in this world and speaketh of the earth. That is, he speaks according to human understanding. His ideas are couched in human terms. His thinking and his planning develops according to human notions. This is the significance of saying that he is of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He testifies, he tells us the truth which he knows, but this is not acceptable to the natural man. And by the way, when you're thinking about this and just trying in your minds to understand what this means to say that in that event which people have celebrated weeks past as Bethlehem, and you heard so many of the Christmas carols were sung and so many people talked about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will remember all the story with reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's different from any other baby that ever born into this world, because he was different. He was the Son of God who came into this world to live in this world. And what he hath seen and heard, he testifieth, and in this world he did, and no man receiveth his testimony. It's a strange thing, but people can hardly believe it when they hear it. They can hardly accept the truth of what the Lord Jesus Christ actually did. And he himself set it forth, and he came into this world for the express purpose of telling us and showing us that God is the Savior. In verse 33 we read, "He that receiveth his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true." Anybody that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is believing in God. That's just the way in which it will be. Verse 34, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." And in this way, we see in this very book of John a certain authorization of the teaching and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. "He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God." You can just expect him to say what actually is true. He came into this world and he gave his testimony to the world, and the world didn't believe him, but what he had to say was true. And it would be true because the Holy Spirit would be in him in unlimited fashion, so that what he says or what he thinks would actually be the truth. And then in verses 35 and 36, I feel as though you have a sort of put together in a very short compass, a sort of a concentrated statement of what it was that he was actually saying. "The Father loveth the Son, and he hath given all things into his hand." When you say that the Father loveth the Son, I think you're not only referring to the relationship that exists in the Godhead, and God the Father loves God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and the love that prevails within the Godhead among the various persons of the Godhead. But I think there's more in it than that. I think that you have here the actual incarnation of Jesus Christ. You have Jesus Christ actually coming into the world and living in this world, doing exactly what God wants him to do, living out perfectly the will of God, even to the point of going to the cross and dying for our sins. All of this was in the will of God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ did this sort of thing, he was the Son of God. He was the one whom God begat, so to speak, when he gave him a body. And he was the one that had been sent forth from God. "The Father loveth the Son, and he hath given all things into his hand." That is to say, the Father is interested in the Son being honored, in the Son being praised, and he has put everything into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ to administer. This arrangement is in the sovereign plan of God. And by the way, there's no explanation given. No reasons are advanced as to why this should be so. We're simply told that the Son of God had been given, as of God the Father, had been given the total overall control and authority so far as this world is concerned. Then in verse 36, there is a sense in which the writer of the Gospel of John sums up this whole chapter, which began by emphasizing you must be born again, and went on to say that Christ Jesus died for us in order that we might be born again, and now tells us that we will grow in grace as we follow along with him and stay close to him, denying the things of ourselves, but turning unto him. And now we come to verse 36, which, as I say, I think at this point summarizes everything we've been hearing. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. May I just point out, so far as saying the wrath of God abideth on him, that does not mean the wrath of God is going to come to him as a response of this particular thing. It does not mean so much, especially, that when the man doesn't trust in the Lord, that Almighty God is so offended that he's now going to destroy him. The way to understand this is that the human being is due to be destroyed. The human being, because of his sin, has forfeited his place so far as God is concerned. And the plan is for him to be destroyed just because he is the kind of person that he is. All of this is so. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save the lost, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see him, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God that was on him before he ever heard the gospel. The wrath of God that was on him ever since he was created in the world because of his sin. This wrath of God will be gone, and the likeness of it, the frame of it, will not be follow on through so far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. The whole truth of the matter being that he that believeth on the Son hath life, he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. As it is now, and as it has been, and as it always will be. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our hearts as we try to understand this, and strengthen us in our faith. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.